Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. In our last lesson, we began a very special series of lessons concerning the responsibilities of a man as a husband and of a woman as a wife. Today, in the second installment of that series, I'd like to begin by reading with you a passage from the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, beginning in verse 20 of chapter 2. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." That was the first institution God ever established on the face of the earth. He selected the word husband for the man. That word can first be read in the Bible in Genesis 3 and verse 6. The word husband, as we learned in our last lesson, is from two words. It's a contraction, the word house and the word band. And thus, the husband is the band around the house, the band of love, the band of security, the band of protection. God gave specific instructions to the husband, instructions regarding the relationship that God wants man to have with a wife. Well, we also saw in our last lesson that God selected the word wife for the woman. That's found in Genesis 2 and verse 24, the passage we read at the outset of our lesson today. Literally, that word means weaver. The wife is a weaver. She weaves the strands of femininity, of respect, of attractiveness, of commitment, of purity and loyalty and spirituality. She takes all of those strands and weaves them into the marital relationship. And that then produces the strength and the beauty and the happiness of a successful marriage. God also gave specific instructions to the wife regarding her relationship with her husband, and we'll talk about those in future lessons. We noted last week that man cannot be a good Christian and be a bad husband. Woman cannot be a good Christian and be a bad wife. We talked in our lesson last week about the specific divine instructions for the man. Number one was to assume the headship of the relationship. That's found in Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 24. We also saw where the Bible teaches man to provide for his wife and for their family, that the primary responsibility for provision in that institution is that of the man. We then saw that the Bible teaches that the man should protect his wife. That comes from Nehemiah 4 and verse 14. We'll start today with the fourth responsibility of a man as a husband, and that is to continue to court his wife even after they're married. We referred in our last lesson to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, Romans 15 and verse 4. Those passages show that we are to learn through illustrations in the Old Testament what God likes and dislikes in our lives today. Also in Galatians 3 and verse 24, the Bible tells us that the Old Testament is to be used as a tutor. Look at those passages closely. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Look at Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And then in Galatians 3 and verse 24, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Certainly, God is clear, isn't he, concerning the value of the Old Testament? Well, the Old Testament gives us some good advice concerning the role of husband for the man. Continuing the courtship after you're married is part of that advice. Keeping your wife's love by the same means by which you won the love in the first place. I want you to consider some questions with me. First of all, do you dedicate as much time to your wife as you did before you married her? I read one time where the bonds of matrimony are a better investment when interest is paid. Do you speak the same sweet words and as often as you did? Do you tell your wife that you love her? Or are you the kind of person who tells your wife, I told you I loved you and I'll let you know if it changes? Makes a big difference. Let me ask you another question. Is your appearance and your dress as neat as they were and as attractive as they were when you were courting your wife? Do you shave as often? Do you take as many showers? Is your breath in the same condition as it was when you were courting your wife? Well, isn't being well kept important in the relationship to both the husband and the wife? Let me ask you another question. Do you take her out like you did when you were courting her? Do you bring her gifts and remember special days? Do you call her on the phone once in a while for no reason like you did, just to hear her voice and to tell her you love her? Do you walk with her in the same manner as you did? Are you kind? Do you open doors? I know that the wife can open her own door. That's not the point. Are you kind? Do you open her doors? Do you show her courtesy as you did when you were courting? One time, a Chinese statesman was in our country at the United Nations, and he said, marriages in China are like putting a kettle of cold water on a hot stove. It begins to warm up and boil and continues to stay hot. But it seems that marriages in the United States are like putting a kettle of boiling water on a coal stove. It begins to cool and soon it's cold. Don't let the flame die. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So the fifth responsibility of a husband is to honor and be considerate of his wife. She's the weaker vessel, and that's true. She's usually smaller physically. She has finer features, finer sensibilities, a more delicate emotional nature. Husbands honor their wives by showing sympathy and understanding at the right time, by making her a sharer of his life, by showing tenderness and affection and appreciation and kindness. Do you recall how Ezekiel had to sit where the people sat for 7 days before he prophesied to them? That's a good thing to remember. In Ezekiel, the third chapter in verse 15, we read, Then I came to the captives of Tel Aviv who dwell by the river Shebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them for 7 days. Well, we need to consider, don't we, the duties and responsibilities of our wife before we become critical, before we react in situations that could be troublesome. I heard one time about an accountant who babysat for his wife one Saturday when she went to the mall. When she returned, the accountant handed her a note. It said, dried tears, 9 times. Toy balloons purchased, 3 per child. Average life of balloon, 13 seconds. Tied shoes, 13 times. Caution children not to cross the street, 21 times. Children cross the street, 21 times. Number of times I'll do this again, 0. Well, speaking of being considerate, did you hear about the wife who said that her husband at the buffet dinner That's the fifth time you've gone back for more chicken. Doesn't that embarrass you? The husband said, not at all. I keep telling them that I'm getting it for you. Well, that may be cute, but it's not very considerate, is it? A fifth instruction that God gives to man in this relationship is to value and appreciate his wife. In Proverbs 12 and verse 4, Solomon wrote, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. In Proverbs 18 and verse 22, the Bible reads, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Again, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19 and verse 14, houses and riches are an inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. That certainly shows you the value of a wife in the eyes of God, doesn't it? We read and talk about the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. In Proverbs 31 and verse 10, the Bible says her price is far above rubies. I think it's true, the old statement that says there's a good wife behind the eminent men. Indeed, that's the truth. The American Institute of Family Relations surveyed a group of happy homes. The wives were asked, why is your marriage such a success? You know that every one of the wives that were interviewed said, it's because my husband continues to express his appreciation of me. That's the only point that was on every single interview. Oh, there were other things, but that was on every one. My husband continues to express his appreciation of me. Wives must feel that they're the most important and appreciated human beings in the lives of their husbands. They must feel that. And whether or not they feel that is up to us, isn't it, as husbands? Wives deserve to be valued. They deserve to be considered. They deserve to be appreciated. Appreciated as individuals, as people of worth, as people possessing dignity. Wives are not sex objects. Wives are not maids to clean the house. Wives are not just mothers of our children. They are persons of worth. They are persons of dignity. When wives are not valued and appreciated, I believe there are two basic things that will occur. One, they will have emotionally induced illness. And two, they'll become radical feminist fighters. I want you to listen to how one woman responded to this point. She wrote, quote, there is a special vitamin that a wife needs for her well-being. Even in Christian homes, this is sometimes lacking. A man works and earns money. His salary check and his employer's commendation are recognition of his worth. A housewife has no such criterion, yet she too needs appreciation and motivation. Many husbands don't realize the depth of that need. Well, now I would tell you that that appreciation has to be overtly expressed. Whether it's through gifts or flowers or kind words, one has to overtly express. One cannot take for granted that a wife feels appreciated. One time, Will Rogers accepted an invitation to a Hollywood party, and that invitation was addressed to Mr. Will Rogers. Oh, he went and he entertained in his own unique way, and then he sent a bill to the people who threw the party. The hostess called and said, Mr. Rogers, I invited you as a guest, not as an entertainer. Mr. Rogers responded, when Mrs. Rogers is not invited, I go to work and I expect to be paid. You see, Will Rogers appreciated and honored his wife. He also expressed it in a very open way. And you know what? When Mrs. Rogers was about to pass away, it was things like that that she remembered with the most clear thoughts. Well, and a seventh instruction to man as a husband is to be sweet and tender to his wife. In Colossians 3 and verse 19, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Well, the opposite of being bitter is to be sweet, isn't it? Keep sweet. I heard one person say, if you keep sweet, you'll never be in a pickle. Well, husbands should fight for their wives, not with them. If a husband and wife will not quarrel before company, they need to remember that two's company when they start to quarrel and argue between themselves. When a husband gives his wife a piece of his mind, he simply destroys his own peace of mind. That's not to suggest that there'll never be arguments, there'll never be disagreements, that there'll always be total agreement on every point. A writer named A.P. Herbert wrote, "The concept of two people living together for 25 years without having a cross word suggests a lack of spirit only to be admired in sheep." Well, the important thing is to keep an open mind and keep open lines of communication between you and your wife. Remember that wives are a complicated and a complex piece of machinery. Every husband knows that for sure. Wives deserve and they demand the best of care. It's not the revolutions that wear out the machine. It's the friction that wears it out. Keep your relationship well oiled with kindness and tenderness. Trust your wife. Treat her like a thoroughbred, and she'll not turn out to be an old nag. Here's a copy of a letter that was sent to Dear Abby. "Dear Abby, my heart doesn't yearn for wall-to-wall carpeting and fancy clothes, but oh, Abby, how I would love to have my husband bring home some foolish little gift on some unspecial day. He's not a thoughtless guy, but when you have to hint, it's no fun. He's a grand guy and a wonderful husband, and if he'd only do this little thing to let me know that I'm as special to him as he is to me, I'd be the happiest woman on the face of the earth." Indeed, wives are special. Wives are more sentimental than husbands in most cases. They place more importance on little things than we do. How about remembering the "I love you, honeys," and the wink across the table, and the placing of your hand on hers? We can be macho and tender too. One is not exclusive of the other. Well, next, the specific instructions continue in God's Word, and we find them to the wives as well as to the husbands. First of all, the specific instructions to the wives is to honor and give respect to your husband. In Ephesians 5 and verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Get it now? "And the wife see that she reverence her husband." The wife's manner of life is to be coupled with fear. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Fear there is not talking about being afraid, it's talking about respect. That the wife's manner of life is to be coupled with respect. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 6, Sarah exemplified such respect by obeying Abraham and calling him Lord. The opposite was displayed by Michael to David. That's found in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12 through 23. When you read about that, the disrespectful way that Michael treated her husband, you see the way that God chagrins women treating their husbands today. Remember earlier in this lesson, we talked about Romans 15 and verse 4 and 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. We talked about Galatians 3 and verse 24, all of which show us that the Old Testament is to be used to as examples for us to learn by. Well, certainly, when you read 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12 beginning about Michael, you'll learn a way that God does not want a woman to feel about her husband. In a marriage relationship, women demand love and men demand respect. Without either, both will be destroyed. Let me give you some ways that a wife manifests respect for her husbands. First of all, by fulfilling her obligations in the home. We read in Titus 2 and verse 5, "Be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to them, to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored." Second, a wife manifests respect for her husbands by being in subjection to her husband. Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 24, again, teaches that. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 24. A wife can manifest respect for her husband by wearing his name. Genesis 5 and verse 2, He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. Notice he didn't call them womankind. He called them mankind. A wife can manifest respect for her husband by avoiding public criticism of her husband. When we read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 through 7, we see God's definition of love. Indeed, it's a clear definition that almost does not deserve or need any comment. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's begin a reading in verse 1 and read through about verse 8, first part of verse 8. If I speak with tongues, the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains and do not have love, I have nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Get it? The Apostle Paul, inspired of God, after defining love, said, "Love never fails." A woman can manifest respect for her husband by loving him enough to avoid public criticism. Next, a woman can manifest respect for her husband by refusing to compete with him, to dominate him, or to overshadow him. There aren't many men that I know that are worth their salt that don't understand there are many ways that wives are superior to husbands. Many ways. But the woman that respects her husband doesn't bring that to his face, doesn't embarrass him because of that. A wife manifests respect for her husband by never henpecking him. We all know what that means, don't we? A wife needs to realize that husbands build their self-image by looking into a mirror that is shaped by his wife. I can tell by the very look of my wife whether what I have on is appropriate or not. I can tell by the look of my wife without a word whether or not my actions are appropriate or not. My self-image is a reflection of what my wife sees and allows me to see in that reflection. Well, a second instruction that the Bible gives to women as wives is to submit and obey their own husband. We've talked about that some already, and we'll talk about that more in the next show as we continue our series of lessons concerning man as a husband and woman as a wife. I appreciate you listening today to our lesson. I want you to know that you can get a free CD, a free copy of this lesson, simply by accessing our website at www.montevistacoc.com. That's www.montevistacoc.com. When you go to that website, instructions will be there that will provide you a way to email us and ask for a copy of this or any of the lessons that we have presented on the Go and Teach program. Be sure, if you want a copy, to provide for us on that email your name, your address, and which lesson that you want. We try to stay up with those requests best we can, and we'll mail out your CD just as soon as is possible. Glad that you joined us today. I pray, that you and I, as we live our life, might have more and more opportunities to let people see through us Jesus Christ, that we might this day have an unusual opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ. Listen to us regularly and listen to us often. Come and worship with us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, located on the west side of 40th Street, about a mile and a half from the airport, at 2202 North 40th Street, Phoenix, Arizona. Everybody that is interested in God's message to man is welcomed at the Monte Vista Church of Christ. Have a pleasant day. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.